Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Live from Liverpool, The Dark Paranormal, Season 18.
Hello everyone and welcome back to The Dark Paranormal, Season 18, Episode 2. First off, a huge thank you to everyone regarding the debut episode and also for welcoming Dark Realms. Like I've said many times before, I am not a journalist nor an article writer, so it's quite an interesting challenge for me to try and piece together this narrative to present to you in a way which you'd enjoy, and by all accounts you do. So thank you so much for the feedback regarding those new episodes. Just to add, I also enjoy doing those episodes. I don't want you to think I'm slogging my guts out trying to force out more content for you to enjoy. It brings me back to being a child again and looking at books and searching online for things that I never knew or I didn't know too much about. So it's been a really great experience and I'm so happy that it's now part of the Dark Paranormal family. As you may well know by now, we've begun to read the names of people who've joined our Patreon at the end of the experience so we can get to the experience quicker. But we will still plug the Patreon at the start. The decision was made just before Season 18 to make sure we get to the narrative quickly, and also if you've joined our Patreon, you don't miss out on getting your name heard. So why should you join our Patreon? Well, for less than the cost of a standard in-house coffee per month, you will not only support this independent show, you will also gain access to each and every episode that's on this feed, both early and ad-free. But you can also gain access to our Patreon-only podcast, Dark Bites. Now that releases every Sunday of the year without fail. And there's an entire back catalogue of well over 70-plus hours of Patreon-only content for you to sit and binge. But with all sincerity, the best thing about our Patreon is its community itself. We've built a wonderful team of like-minded paranormal enthusiasts just like you. And we'd love to extend an exclusive invitation just for you. Head over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. And right now, Patreon are doing a thing where you can buy somebody else a subscription as a gift. So even if you're sat there thinking, this isn't my bag, I listen to it because they listen to it. Well, they listen to it because they like it. So maybe slip this in their stocking at Christmas. It's patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. But right now, it's time. Lower those lights, make yourself comfortable, and of course, leave your disbelief at the door as we hear all about a dark evil directly underfoot. Hi, Kevin. I hope this email finds you well. I haven't been a long-time listener, but within the last year, I've binged the entirety of your show, and it's honestly my favourite podcast. I've been debating sharing this story for a while now, due, in part, to it not really feeling like my story to tell. I also hope it's long enough, but I know you've also added things like the Dark Minisode to newer seasons. So I've come to believe it may be worth telling my story. So I hope you and your listeners enjoy what I have to say. I've never been particularly sensitive to the paranormal. Or maybe I just haven't had a true enough opportunity to find out. But I have always been drawn to spooky things, even as a child. I remember looking up YouTube videos that claimed to have footage of real ghosts and telling scary stories on the bus rides home from school. But no matter how much I believed and found interest in the topic, I never experienced any of my own paranormal activity until I was in high school. And even then, I kind of doubt what I experienced. Maybe I was overthinking it at the time. Or maybe I was fooled by the people I was experiencing it with. It could have simply been wishful thinking of my adolescent mind. I don't know. I haven't experienced anything paranormal since, and I'm almost 30. But I've always been too trusting, and I like to believe what I was told and had experienced was the truth. Because of this back and forth thinking, and some of the events I witnessed personally, I still struggle to feel like the stories about my ex-boyfriend's house are my stories to tell. So I'll be changing the names of everyone in this, for their privacy, and because we've fallen out. I really don't need that backlash. These events have both intrigued and haunted me for many years now, and part of me hopes that sharing these stories will hopefully alleviate some of that attachment, both the possible spiritual attachments and the emotional ones that I had with my ex and his family. Anyway, here it goes. I started dating my ex-boyfriend when I was about 17 years old. We'll call him Jason. He was a year older than me, and in high school we orbited around each other for about a year before dating due to having mutual friends. We both grew up in a very small Midwestern town and lived on opposite ends of that town, maybe 20 minutes away from each other. But he was my first real relationship, and considering my age, I was naive to the negativity that can exist in the world. The nuances of mental health, depression, abuse. Well, I didn't understand any of it until I met Jason. Or more specifically, I met his family. Within the first month or two of our four-year relationship, I'd encountered the worst of his mental health issues. I won't go into details beyond severe depression and an eating disorder, most of which had been brought about by the verbal, emotional, and sometimes physical abuse he'd endure from his father, and on occasions, his mother as well. Our relationship was a lot of things, mostly negative, but I don't regret experiencing it. With the bad, I was able to learn how to be more empathetic and understanding that sometimes, despite their actions, you can't always condemn abusive parents as the devil. They're still someone's parents, and sometimes they may be influenced by things beyond their control. The first I heard of his parents' house being haunted was through word of mouth. More specifically, Jason's mouth, as we huddled on the couch in the basement. This was on his 18th birthday. At first I was spooked, but I didn't necessarily believe. I would learn that lesson later. The more I visited, the more I experienced, and therefore the more I believed his stories. And there were so many stories. I'll start very briefly by explaining the origins of the house, or what I was told about it. It was a log cabin type house, built down a long driveway, tucked away in an area near farmers' fields. It was surrounded by forest. Jason's parents had built the house themselves, tearing apart two older log cabins in the area, and then Frankensteining their own cabin together out of that lumber. It wasn't large, but stood two stories, with a decent-sized basement, and plenty of land surrounding them. It was actually a gorgeous, unique house. But when it got dark, The house and the surrounding land felt, well, eerie. I never fully felt comfortable there. Even during the day when the house was full of people, I couldn't help but keep looking over my shoulder, convinced there was something there I couldn't see. There were multiple rooms in the house that had this feeling. Pretty much every bedroom, the basement, and both bathrooms. Every room in the house, with the exception of the living room and the kitchen, felt dark and cold. I also felt like I was being watched. Unfortunately, my ex-boyfriend's family had a habit of moving rooms a lot, so I was expected to spend time in a lot of spaces that, well, didn't feel totally safe. And those eerie feelings followed me wherever I went. It didn't really help that the cabin had minimal lighting. Therefore, shadows clung to the corners of every room. It was dark and crowded with antiques his mum had collected. Don't get me wrong, it was a lovely home. But, again, you never felt completely alone. Even in the spaces I was meant to feel comfortable in. This eerie feeling I had, in hindsight, was probably due, in part at least, to just how on edge I felt around Jason's family. Especially his dad, whose temper could flare at the drop of a hat, making it difficult to feel at peace anywhere in that house, even if he wasn't home. I'll try to share these stories in chronological order as best I can. Most are remembered from what I was told, and near the end, I'll share the more recent experiences as well as my own. I apologise if telling it that way seems jagged or abrupt, but with so many stories, it's difficult to write them down in a way that seems to flow naturally. The oldest story my boyfriend had told me about the house was of the apparitions that apparently only young children would see there, himself included. His mother was a stay-at-home parent. Seeing as she had three boys to take care of, she supplemented her lack of income by babysitting for families in the area. So she had kids that would come around regularly and some who would come by on the odd day. But there were a handful of incidents that were shared with me where these infants would point and babble at empty air, convinced there was someone they were interacting with. There's also been kids who have heard voices, describing a man walking through the house dressed like a cowboy. I don't think my ex ever saw him, but he'd experienced so much more than any of those other kids. When he was young enough to be in elementary school, he was playing outside with one of the girls from the neighbourhood that his mother looked after. They were roughly the same age, and they were outside enjoying the afternoon playing in the sandbox, one his parents had built near the edge of the yard that butted up against a large field of tall grass. That grass stretched for several metres before being overtook by the woods that would surround the whole area. Jason, unaware and just enjoying himself in that sandbox, had his back to that field, only to be interrupted by a sharp pain. Something had been thrown at him from that grass, hitting him square in the back, hard enough to leave a welt. Turning around, he noticed a rock about the size of his palm, laying in the sand next to him, one that wasn't there before. So he stood up, thinking maybe it was one of his brothers out in the field and messing around with him. But there was no one. The grass was long, but not so long it could have covered anyone crouching in the field. He couldn't come up with an explanation for the event, so just being a young child, he brushed it off. Throughout the years as he grew, so did his experiences. from getting out of the shower and finding raised red scratches all over his body that seemingly came out of nowhere, to hearing voices, knocking, the sound of footsteps around the house, and even glimpsing the occasional apparition. It was such a constant that it almost became commonplace. Once, while walking on the treadmill in the basement, Jason was physically, viscerally touched, but remained the only one in the basement. Another time, he was using the upstairs bathroom and casually looked to the other side of the room. And from behind the barely closed door stood a man watching him. Jason, being touched and hearing noises that shouldn't be there, was so frequent that I barely remember any specific incidents to recount. Part of me wonders if these things were his own doing, some kind of poltergeist conjured up by the negative energy and feelings associated with his poor mental health and the rampant abuse in the home. I'm no expert, but I can only look back and speculate. Another event I was told about later in life happened when he was a bit older. He and his brothers were out on the land riding their four-wheelers for fun when, all of a sudden, this loud, ringing crack could be heard echoing throughout the woods, almost like the sound of someone hitting two large sticks together as hard as they could. It happened over and over again and seemed to be moving closer. Uneasy, his older brother ran off to find their father, who'd been working on the land nearby. So, off his father went, searching the woods to gauge just where these noises were coming from. But despite searching, their dad found nothing. No neighbours, no strangers on the land acting up, no animals, nothing out of the ordinary. Even though the noises they heard sounded like they were being made nearby, they never found anything, and it remains a mystery. Let's take a quick break in proceedings to talk to you about the holiday season and the M word, not mistletoe, money. Because food, decorations, presents, they don't come for free. And at this time of year, everyone knows to the last digit what is in their bank account. Well, I know I do anyway. And when I get my statement in January, I look and think, I didn't need to go out then. I didn't need to buy that. I didn't need to buy as many of those. And I kick myself and say, next year, you'll do something better with your money. And that was me rinse and repeat until last year when I actually did. Now, you'll have heard me talk about Acorns before, and there's a reason for it. Because Acorns make it easy to start automatically saving and investing for you, your kids, your retirement, even during the holidays. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that matches you. And you don't need a ton of time. You can create your Acorns account and start automatically investing your money in just 5 minutes. And you don't need to be rich. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now. That could be $5 a day or just even your spare change. That's right. Acorns can round every purchase you make up to a dollar and automatically invest that spare change for you. So if you buy a coffee on the way to work, that's investing. And you can get bonus investments just for buying the stuff you need from the brands you love. The change I said I made last year, well, I looked at all the excess I would have spent and I invested it. And believe me, guys, that's why Acorns are so important. And I'll be doing the same this year, because when you look at your statement in January and you see you've invested money instead of wasting it, it's a great feeling. So head over to acorns.com/darkparanormal or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid non-client endorsements. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Investment involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/darkparanormal.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Later on, when my boyfriend was a young teenager, his mental health issues reached breaking point. The abuse from his parents, combined with his own internal struggles, had beaten him down to the point of self-harm and caused him to suffer with an eating disorder. Because of those things, he grew very ill very soon and was soon too weak to even climb to bed. So each night, his mattress needed to be dragged down onto the floor of his bedroom so he could sleep. At that point, the family dog would sleep with him every night. He could sense something was wrong, that Jason needed support, and they both had settled in to get some much-needed rest. Some time passed, in peace, when, all of a sudden, his door opened, and he saw the shadowy outline of a young boy stood in the doorway, staring at him. Right away, Jason assumed it was his younger brother, coming into his room at night to mess with him. They had a very good relationship, and always have. So the boys would regularly pick on each other and generally joke around. So much so, it was commonplace for his brother, Jonah, to sneak into his room at night and mess around. Unfortunately, on this night, Jason wasn't in the mood to mess around and told his brother as much, warning him to go away now. Just let me sleep. But the shadow didn't leave as instructed. Instead, it took a step closer to Jason in the dark. Again, Jason told him to leave him alone, but the shadow didn't move. At this point, the dog began to growl low in his throat, and Jason grew nervous. You see, that dog never growled at anyone it knew. He was a big, loving German shepherd, and he wouldn't harm a hair on any of the boys' heads. Things didn't add up, and Jason, now fed up with what he thought was his brother's antics, reached under his pillow for his iPod Touch, turning the brightened screen towards the shadow to reveal nothing. Nobody was there. The room was empty, the shadow had disappeared with the light, the dog stopped growling. It was like the whole thing never happened. No one had ever entered his room. The stories I've told so far are the only ones I recall happening before my time with their family. These were the ones that really stuck out to me, and I don't think I'll ever forget them as long as I live. I do remember how creeped out I was the very first time Jason told me of these encounters. And regardless of how we ended, I don't doubt for a second what he said to be true. We dated for a while after I came into the picture, and I have my own experiences that can corroborate what both he and his siblings claim happened. I only experienced something personally, maybe a handful of times, but each one I remember in full detail. Like I said, I haven't experienced many paranormal things in life, and most I'd be willing to shrug off if they ever happened. But these events were huge to me when I was a teenager, and these memories have stuck solid. Again, here we go. The first incident I remember encountering after Jason and I started dating happened in the basement, as most incidents did. There was something about that space that just wasn't welcoming. As soon as you opened the door, crossed that threshold to climb the steep steps down into the darkness, you felt a certain uneasy feeling, yet a common one throughout the property. It was as if something patiently waited for you specifically, just past the edge of the shadows, just out of sight. The house itself was uniquely structured, but the basement was a strange combination of rooms that created countless shadowy corners, which didn't help. My description of this basement may be a bit convoluted, so I apologise, but trust me, it's very necessary, since most of the activity happened down here. But it's important to have an idea of what this space looked like, and I know how descriptions can sound, so I'll be as succinct as possible. The stairs were steep and led to a single landing, before turning left to finish the descent. The stairway opened up into a decent-sized square room with sparse furnishings, a futon in the corner and a TV on the opposite wall. As you took your last step, you found yourself face-to-face with another door, which led to a separate bedroom. Perpendicular to the wall the stairs sat against, in that room, the kiddie corner, was another doorway that led into the activity-slash-laundry room. Now that room in particular wasn't finished. Like the rest of the basement, really. Just concrete floors and a none-too-inviting, mildew-type smell to it. So I never spent long periods of time in any other room than the initial room with the futon. It was a quiet space away from the watchful eyes and drama of his parents. And we both found our own privacy in that basement that we couldn't find anywhere else in the house. One day, we decided to make the trip down to the basement to hang out on the futon, cuddle, watch TV. But once we got down there, we found that the dank basement was abnormally warm for the season. Without thinking, my boyfriend decided to head into the activity room and dig through the closet for a fan we could use. I agreed, and I sat myself on the futon to wait for him. I was caught in my thoughts and startled when I noticed Jason standing in the doorway. But that feeling didn't subside of being startled, because Jason was frozen still. I'd heard all the stories of their haunting prior to that visit, so I'm not going to lie, I freaked out. I asked him what was wrong, terrified that he'd seen something in the darkness beyond the door. Even me imagining his reaction at whatever he'd seen scared me, and I didn't know what that would be. But instead of replying, he ushered me over and gestured at the two closet doors at the other side of the activity room. Now, these closets were small, and they had slatted doors that light could easily penetrate through. And both of the closets were lit from inside, in an otherwise dark room. The doors were closed, the main room's light was off, but the lights in the closet were on. The real kicker here was that the light switch that controlled those lights was on the wall between the doors, and had been duct taped down into the off position forever ago. And the reason for this was because the lights kept turning themselves on. There was no way those lights should have been on, because they were still taped in the off position. Some people may say this experience is too simple and doesn't warrant a story. But believe me, it was the very first time I'd experienced something paranormal, and it was genuinely the creepiest thing I'd experienced at that point in my life. The second incident I experienced personally, I can only describe as a sort of greeting. Like the house was officially welcoming me to the family. One day, my boyfriend and I were at his house alone. The rest of the family were either at work or out and about. So we felt free enough to hang out upstairs in the living room together, rather than the basement, which I hated. Without his parents around, we had privacy and as much freedom of the house as we could have. And yet, despite us being the only ones there, I still felt eyes on the back of my head. Now, the house still felt eerie, just less so. I don't remember what we were doing, but after a while, Jason had grown tired and wanted to take a nap. I agreed to go with him, so we both headed upstairs to his dad's room and take advantage of his empty queen-sized bed. Why in the world I went along with this, I've no idea. Clearly, I was absolutely terrified of his dad, and I wanted nothing to do with him, nor the possibility of getting found out and experiencing his anger. But Jason must have convinced me otherwise, because we both climbed on top of the bed and settled for a nap. Before doing so, I distinctly remember taking my glasses off, putting them on the nightstand next to the bed, and a few hours later we woke up, thankfully before either of his parents had come home. But I couldn't find my glasses anywhere. I checked all over the room, in the connected bathroom, under the bed, on the floor, nothing. I couldn't logically figure out where they would be. Eventually, we gave up and decided to look downstairs, even though I knew they couldn't be there. But lo and behold, there they were, sat on the table next to Jason's dad's chair in the living room. I know for a fact I would never in a million years put anything I owned near that chair. I'm very particular about my stuff, and I like to keep it near me, within arm's reach, especially if I'm at somebody else's house, or somewhere I'm not entirely comfortable. I know I didn't put my glasses next to that chair, because, at the time, I didn't want to do anything that would even remotely disturb the already fragile peace between Jason and his dad. If anything happened that ticked him off, there would have been a yelling match, and I certainly didn't want to be the cause of it. I know I would never have put my glasses on that table, either out of control or fear, and the only explanation is that someone else, or something else, did. After that incident, I was much more in tune with the happenings of the house, and much more fearful. About 2 years into our relationship, Jason and I had decided to move in together in a city about 2 hours away from our hometown. It was nice to be away from that house, to have our own space to relax. But inevitably, we would have to visit both his and my family during the holidays. And when we would stay with his parents, we'd be expected to sleep on the futon in the basement. Every time we visited long term, which, in my opinion, was the worst possible place. As I've said, because it's the truth, in the daylight, that house was unique and gorgeous, albeit spooky. But at night, it became an entirely different story. It always felt as if whatever was there expected you to leave. You were not welcome. At least, I was not welcome. So overnight, when I was asked to stay, I would bundle myself up in the furthest corner of the bed, tucked away against the wall of the basement, so nothing could sneak up on me without me being completely aware. And I'd lay there awake for what felt like hours in the dark, hoping sleep would take me. And I'd just sit in the silence, feeling that horrible, heavy unease. At that point, Jason's brother had moved into the room at the bottom of the basement stairs, and he was experiencing more activity in the basement, more than he ever had above ground. One day, he told us he'd been up late one night trying to fall asleep, as he suffered from insomnia. Turning over and over in his bed, he bumped the wall with his hand, accidentally knocking against the wood panelling, Moments later, something responded to him. A similar knocking, but it continued all the way down the wall from one side of the room to the other, staying at the same level just above his head. He told us he didn't investigate, instead opting to turn over and try and get some sleep. Of course, he told us this when we were visiting, so naturally I was terrified. I would be sleeping in the same room that the knocks had come from, and I wanted nothing to do with it. Another night, during another visit, Jason and I were sleeping on that futon in that basement again. But my boyfriend couldn't sleep. Insomnia runs in their family, and he was up late at night while I somehow managed to fall asleep next to him. Next thing is, the door to the basement squeaks open, and he heard slow, steady footsteps make their way down the basement stairs above his head. It sounded to Jason like his brother's footsteps, as if he was coming home from a night out, and trying not to make too much noise. Once the footsteps reached the bottom of the stairs, sure enough, much to his relief, there was his brother, Jonah. And he saw my boyfriend, waved to him, and entered through his bedroom door to go to bed. In the morning, Jason woke up without any assumptions and went upstairs to greet his mum and brother in the kitchen. Except, his brother wasn't there. Confused, he asked his mum where his brother was. For her to reply that Jonah didn't come home that night. Instead, he stayed over with a friend. In fact, he didn't come back until much later that afternoon. Thankfully, I wasn't awake to witness the return of this doppelganger. But Jason always told me that it felt like the house, or whatever resided there, was welcoming him back after a long time away. Despite all of the physical events that happened in that house, I think the worst effect that house had on Jason's family was emotionally. Every one of his family members were affected in some way. His dad's mood was dour and hostile, and fluctuated each day. His mum's moods would vary too, and you could never predict how she would react to something. Jason himself struggled with the worst depression. Sure, it could be attributed to his parents and the way they treated him, but I remember being told that his dad's mood completely changed after a few years living at that house. Apparently changing from a loving and involved father to an aggressive and negative force in everyone's lives. So, what flipped his emotions? Why did he change so drastically? I genuinely can only assume it's something to do with that house and whatever resides there with their family. My theory is that something there is affecting his father, and from there, everyone else is affected. That, and the depression that each member of the family deals with, might cause some sort of poltergeist activity that causes items to move, people to be touched. I'm not sure. It's a lot of assumptions, I know, and not a lot of answers. Hopefully, someone in your audience might have an idea as to what the hell is going on. Thank you for taking the time to read about my experiences. I appreciate all you do and hope that you can use this email. Whether it's read out or not, it was helpful to finally type everything out and put order to the chaos that was my life back then. Thank you for creating a space for people to come forward about the unexplainable. Your podcast will always hold a special place in my heart, Anonymous. Well, thank you so much, Anonymous, for such a thought-provoking experience for episode 2. Genuinely, when I read that for the first time, my initial thought was that the house itself seems to be an abuser. You mentioned many times it felt negative, it felt down. there are other mentions in there, such as your boyfriend saying maybe he was being welcomed back. Now, that behaviour is something typical we attach to an abusive person. The ups and the downs. The making you feel safe and then taking that away. And it's very interesting that this house seems to have that sort of energy or that vibe. It's also interesting it's a house made from two houses. And I do wonder if that's got anything to do with it at all. But thank you so much for the submission. And if any of our listeners do have their own theories, email contact@thedarkparanormal.com. But once again, Anonymous, thank you for such an interesting experience for episode 2. Now, we've reached the point in the show where we thank those wonderful people who will allow you to listen to this show. And that's our wonderful Patreon community. And in all honesty, despite all of the ad-free early releases and dark bites, the best thing about Patreon is the community itself. And if you'd like to be a part of this genuinely wonderful community, head over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. Maybe treat yourself for Christmas. Why not? But let's say a big thank you to our latest community members. And they are BCM the Purchaser, Piper Jacks, Claude Marbus, Ruth Margrove, Trevor Grant, Trisha, Autumn, Holly and Boland, MSLAC, Cami Anderson, Michelle Banahan, Anna Goldberg, Tammy Jordal, Caitlin W, Gavin Burchell, Sandra Kerrigan, Amy Haggerty Johnson, Danielle Mulligan, Susan Tole, Andrea Ebsell, Graham and Peter W. And guys, do not forget, if you haven't heard your name, as always, when we begin a season, we do have quite a bit of a backlog to get through, so do not worry, your name will be pronounced very soon. And what I've just realised is, with the names now being at the end of the show, your name should be announced fully and properly, as opposed to me trying to do an Eminem-style rap at the start to get to the show. So that's worked out better all round. So don't forget, guys, if you'd like to get those early ad-free releases and, of course, access that back catalogue of Dark Bites, head over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. But as we draw a close to episode 2 of season 18, and we wonder what Dark Realms holds round the corner, remember, whenever you're discussing the paranormal, always try to leave some of your disbelief at the door. And I'll see you next time. Right here on The Dark Paranormal.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.